Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Lena Norms, and welcome to the first episode of I'm Not Being Funny But, the podcast where we ask the questions you pretend you already knew the answers to, or perhaps the ones you didn't think to ask. In this show, I found a jolly band of folk who were up for laughing at themselves a bit, laughing at me a lot, and humouring the stupid questions I've been too afraid to ask. We're going to get things wrong, we're going to be a little bit problematic, and we are going to make a mess of things. Each guest speaks only on their own behalf. And if there's anything you hear that's different from your experience, or you have something to add, I'd love to hear from you. There will be a segment at the end of every other episode called I'm Not Having It. In that segment, I'll be reading out your comments on the last episode. Without further ado, I'm going to jump into our first episode. It's with the wonderful Ian Boldsworth, a comedian who has recently been publicly sad. I first discovered Ian because of his mental health podcast, The Mental Podcast, aptly named. He's an amazing writer, artist and comedian, and I was really interested to hear from him how, in this age where it's almost become trendy to talk about mental health, do we talk about it in the appropriate way? How do we look for spokespeople without stereotyping? How do we put mental health on a platform without making people two-dimensional? We talk about how trigger warnings are like wheelchair ramps, how Ian's friends deal with his mental health issues, and what it's like to be the sad jester, inverted commas.
Your love is like an urban legend, 'cause it doesn't exist.
My fear about talking about this kind of thing with me is that I haven't really ever suffered from depression. I've had lots of friends that have tried to commit suicide. That's what it sounds like. Everyone who's near me
like
just
you,
like,
yeah.
But you know, I've had that close proximity to that kind of thing, but never actually had it. So there's this, I'm very hyperly aware that there's almost like, some people call it a trend of talking about mental health. I would hopefully call it an evolution of starting to talk about it.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
But like, I'm aware that there's also an idea of too many like Guardian Communist Free articles about too many like Paul, like, oh, 10 things to do it, you know. There is an element where, like, if people become interested in it but don't experience it, they can fetishize it and be like,
absolutely.
And do you ever feel like you've been like wheeled out? And maybe, in fact, I'm doing it right now, wheeling you out as that person who's like, oh, this is a person with mental illness.
Yeah.
Like, let's look at them in a glass box.
There was this, the thing which I spoke about on the podcast when I went on Sky News to talk about it, where I felt like that. It became very. It had a little sort of lightning moment. Where I was like, oh, I think rent-a-sad was the phrase he used. I'm rent-a-sad. And it wasn't comfortable with me. I think the problem with the fetishizing it, for want of a better word, really, or making it into a trendy thing, or it being a career move, even worse, you know, that's where I think I'd be very uncomfortable right now if I was a comic who'd done the mental podcast and that's all I'd done this year. I'd be very uncomfortable, but I do the Parapod and stuff, I do other stuff, and I wouldn't want it to be my bag, that's what I do, and that's what I always do. The issue with it is it's a similar, I'm going to draw a parallel with controlled opposition, the idea of controlled opposition. So when people talk about and I'm only talking about this because I've recently been talking about the Illuminati and things like that, and there's a thing called controlled opposition, which is where they will put someone in place to say things that are right and then say something ridiculous, and when they say something ridiculous, it takes away their credibility for everything they've said. So that's how they hide in plain sight. So they will get people in place to lie about stuff, but then to tell some truths about the people they're attacking, and then say ridiculous things, and then the outside eye goes, they're talking bollocks.
Yeah.
which they apply to everything.
Yeah.
So I think the issue with if there are people, and you know what, I'll go out on a limb, there are people, definitely, who are career depressives, okay? Or even if they're not career depressives, even if they do have mental health issues, they're talking about it is for other reasons. It's actually for career reasons, or to get on this morning, or whatever, you know, whatever the reasons. I think if you have one, it can take away the credibility of the rest. So there are some people who will see X person talking about it, clearly doing it for their own reasons, clearly doing it to get further in their career, and go, they're all talking shit.
Yeah. You know, just you discard the source just because some of its manifestations
Or say they're all doing that.
Yeah.
That's what they're all doing. Mm. So they could then go about the men's podcast. That's what he's doing as well. And I can't combat that. You know, there's nothing I can do about that. All I can say is that's not.
But I suppose as a, you know, as a comedian or as an artist or whatever, whatever we're holding you to today.
What's your feeling? You know, what do you think I am? I'm a comedian or artist?
Did I say something funny? Oh, that's the worst thing you can say to a comedian, isn't it?
No.
Like, no. Yeah. You have been rejected. It's not about consent.
Not at all.
It's like your job is to really like look at stuff in your own life that you find either entertaining, amusing, or interesting and talk about it and filter that for people. And that is kind of what the mental podcast is, isn't it? It's something that you've found to be fascinating that you've experienced.
It is that.
It's not really as, like, you know, it's not a crazy, like, side project. It's really, like, fits in with everything
But I think, again, I said it at the beginning of that series, and even now that series has come and gone, I still don't know what the answer is of why I did it. Like, I really don't. I can't even rule out it was for career reasons, because I don't know what the actual reason is. I don't know. It started as a book. I was going to write a book about mental health. Because, you know, people attached to me had said, you're very good at talking about that sort of stuff. You're very good at putting it in a way that people can relate to and putting it away in a humorous way and all that. You should write a book. And I did a blog when Robin Williams died. In fact, I think I was the only person that did a blog when Robin Williams died.
Really underreported death.
Do you know what? I think it was just me who related it to their own depression. I think that was just me who did that.
Everyone else just posted, like, hook gifs.
I'm not a comic or an artist, I'm a trailblazer.
Turns out I'm just a genius.
Yeah. I think it might be who that. Knew? Yeah, it might be that. I think I might be the first person to speak about mental health in such an honest and open and refreshing way.
Yeah.
When I wrote that, I thought, do you know what, I probably could write something about this, because I... obviously, enjoy is the wrong word, but there was something satisfying about writing that and writing very bluntly and openly and not adhering to any rules. It just actually, you know, going like gritty with it and going, I'm just going to tell you the fucking truth. Right, here's the truth about when you feel, you know, when you feel suicidal. This is the truth. You won't like it. And some of the things in it you won't like, but this, it's true. You do feel this. You do feel this. And so I just wrote this thing. And I started writing the book, and I got. Do you know what I increasingly think? I increasingly think now in my writing that I need to be commissioned, and if I'm not commissioned, I'll never finish it.
Because you don't have permission to do it, or just because it's the teacher homework issue.
I don't. Well, again, that's the other thing. Well, I do. I write in a rugby league magazine every month, and that sometimes feels like, oh God, do my homework. Whereas it started with me writing stuff speculatively and them saying, we really like this, can you do some more? Well, and it's like, now it's...
It's like the chase, it's like courtship, it's like, do you want to date me? Should we go on a date?
Yeah.
Now we're married, now, I don't care. Well,
it absolutely is that.
You're expecting it every week from me.
Yeah, so I don't know how much it was to do with the subject matter, how much it was to do with my abilities, or how much it was to do with, you know, just the technicalities of doing something professionally. But I wasn't really getting it. I didn't feel on a flow with it at all. I didn't feel like I was, you know, riding any sort of wave with the writing. So I put it to one side, and then just one day thought, oh, I do podcast, I can just speak all that.
Yeah.
And then all the stuff that I would delete, I will just edit out.
Yeah.
I will just,
like editing a book like almost.
And I'll get other people to talk as well, so that'll fill a load of time and all that.
With this idea, because you know you said being reeled out on TV, talking about mental illness
and stuff,
this whole idea of you being a comedian and then being a depressive,
yeah.
people find that hilarious. Do you think that's okay? Like, do you know when people are like, it's funny because you're a comedian, yeah, but you're also really sad? And it's like that fascination with, like, jesters and, like, do you know, like, the sad jester at the court who's like, you don't want to feel... I think it looks like, for a lot of people, when they see people like Robin Williams, like, there's almost this sick... I don't know. I honestly genuinely think that a lot of people are really sad about Robin Williams. I was quite sad about it. It's very sad. Death is inherently sad. Mm-hmm. But there's this idea of seeing somebody who is so publicly joyful and so publicly hilarious.
Yes.
And then this almost weird, sick kind of relief where it's like, oh, thank God that he was also sad like me.
Yeah,
you
know?
Like, there's that, oh, like, see, I told you not anybody could be completely happy. Even Robin Williams. Like, I think there was almost... And it might be healthy, it might be unhealthy, but this idea of, like... like, just this retribution of just being like, yeah, he was sad,
yeah.
he was happy.
I mean, I don't remember whether or not, I don't think he was. I don't think Robin Williams was publicly displaying of that sort of stuff. He clearly had a complex side to him, because I know he was, he had drugs issues in his life and substance abuse issues in his life at certain points. But I don't recall if he... was particularly vocal about any mental health issues.
I think it's such a shock for people afterwards being like, I can't believe, like, I knew it.
I mean, if we went back and looked, we probably would go, oh God, yeah, that was obvious. It was there. He said it there. He said that there, you know. But I don't recall it being, this isn't to belittle Stephen Fry, but like as Stephen Fry, you know, you would go, okay, well, that's someone who very publicly discusses mental health stuff, as well as being, you know, a very funny man, an intelligent man, all the rest of it. And that, you know, that's part of his collage.
Yeah, it all exists together.
Yeah, yeah. But I don't recall that being the case with Robin Williams, but I may be wrong. I recently heard Bobcat Goldthwait, who was a very close friend of Robin Williams, an incredible filmmaker, a very funny man, a comic as well, a great comic in his own right. And he was discussing Robin Williams, and I seem to recall he said something about... that this suicide thing didn't really have anything to do with depression and didn't really have... He didn't... I might have misquoted him there, by the way, but he was saying stuff to the line, you know, he wasn't a miserable fucker. He wasn't, you know... He had dark moments, but we all have dark moments, but he wasn't that. And he was attributing it more to that he was unwell. He was physically unwell. You know, I think he had early onset Parkinson's, Robin Williams, and...
Yeah.
That was progressing faster than they thought. Again, I hope this is factually correct. This is how I've remembered it. Mm. And I seem to recall that it wasn't... that Bobcat didn't say it was all about that, really, and wanted to distance from that.
Yeah.
While still acknowledging that he was a dark person.
Yeah.
You know, as most comics are dark people, really. For a long time, I've butted against that idea, that, you know, the sad clown idea. And I wonder if there might be something in it. Now, I've always responded to that with, no, it's because comics are people and people have depression, which I stand by. That's still true. But whether you're more susceptible to it or not, I wonder if we are more susceptible to it. Because I think by nature of what we do, or what some of us do, is we strip away the world. So you strip away the bullshit. You strip away the rules, if you like. You take all the rules out of things. So you go, well, I'm not gonna not say that because it'd be funnier to say it. I'm not gonna not say that. I'm not gonna adhere to what you're telling me. If you tell me not to say something, I will say it. You know, that sort of thing. And I think when you subliminally strip stuff away, you might also be making yourself very vulnerable, because the safety pillars that are in place for some people, which are that they come home and they switch off in front of the TV, they go, I'm going to watch X Factor, I'm not going to think about anything, you know, I'm not, you know, those safety nets that they have, you don't have.
Yeah, there's no compartments.
No, because you see the bullshit on the news, you see right through it, you see through X Factor, because you see the cynicism of it, you see how it's made, you see what they're doing, you see the trick, you know what they're doing, so you're never going to be hypnotised in the same way, which makes you more both more enlightened and more vulnerable, because you're not protected by ignorance. But it's purely speculative on my... I don't know if that's necessarily true. It's something I've been thinking about recently, about whether a healthy dollop of ignorance is perhaps a good thing for people. You know. I don't think true ignorance is that if you're just ignorant of everything, you're just an idiot. I don't know, I'm not supposed to say idiot anymore, but I'm going to carry on saying it. I don't know is the answer to that.
Because I think with comedy as well, it's interesting because for some, a lot of people come to comedy shows because it is a form of magic. Like, they don't understand how it happens. They don't expect it to, how do you set up a joke and then make people laugh?
Yeah.
I don't know. Do you know what I mean? Like, how,
same.
So it's almost like,
no idea.
Like, still to be TBC.
Well, no, I know it works. Yeah. I can't do it though. I tell stories. Mm. I couldn't write a joke. I know how to write a joke.
But it's just like, but I think for a lot of people, it's just like, there's like, I don't know how to say it. I guess when you're on stage, you know the difference between a silence and you know that you're the thing that's made somebody laugh.
Mm.
So you're like part of that, those cogs in that process.
Yeah.
Whereas if you're not, you just get to watch somebody else manipulate somebody else's emotions on stage.
Yeah.
And like, that's, it's relaxing for them. It's cathartic. But I suppose,
I don't get pissed off at the sad clown idea. I don't get like, if people want to think that, that's fine. I don't get pissed off at being judged as it's a weird thing because you're a comic and you're depressed. I don't think, oh, or that they will laugh at your depression. I don't mind. I've got no issue with that at all.
Yeah, it's
I couldn't give the first. I don't know what your language restrictions are, but I couldn't give the first fuck about what people think about me. I really couldn't.
Yeah.
You know, other than people that I know in real life, a stranger's opinion to me of me is means nothing as long as unless it's true, then it'd get to me. Do you know what I mean?
Like, hit the nail on the
head
there.
Yeah. That's what it would bother me. So if somebody went, oh, you've got me, sussed, that would bother me.
Somebody left, because people leave comments on my videos, they're like, I'm going to come around and rape you. Or like,
I just
don't care about this. But the ones that are like, you look lonely behind your eyes, and when you turn the camera off, there's no one there. I'm like,
oh,
I'm like, oh god, oh, they're the real trolls. Do you know what I mean? Like, they're the ones you're like, fuck you, man.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's really interesting. It's like,
I'm gonna break her head.
Yeah, the problem is with trolls is some of them are very emotionally intelligent.
Yeah,
and they can say stuff that you're like,
I guess,
oh, actually,
so, yeah. They would know what to pick on. They would pinpoint. And do you know what? That is a risk. So that's a risk of what you do, that's a risk of what I've done in the mental podcast. There is a risk because you do make yourself vulnerable. You're okay, so when you speak on your videos and stuff, or in the podcast, or when I speak on the mental podcast, it's, you're making yourself vulnerable for whatever the reason is, but other people then relate to it. So you're, in a sense, you're kind of taking a bullet for them.
Yeah, you're becoming like a fable for them.
Yeah, but
like,
I'm not being grandiose about that. I'm not surprise me. I'm saying, but that's kind of what you're doing, is you're going, okay, well, I'll start the ball rolling here, and I'll tell you how I feel. And then we'll see how you feel, if you want to talk about it, whatever, you know. But but when you do that, you're showing your underbelly to your enemies, is what you're doing as well. You know, your enemies are going, okay, so he says here that this made him suicidal, eh?
Oh, God.
Well, then I will work. Yeah. I don't know, if I need to attack him, then I will pinpoint that in him. You know, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's his Achilles heel.
Yeah.
So that's the risk with displaying your real self to any level.
Do you think there's a difference between people trying to understand mental illness and trying to understand suicide? Because I think they're quite different. They're obviously very similar, but a lot of people can get their head around depression. Have you found a lot of people find it harder to get their head around suicide? Because there's been people who are just like, you know, they can say to people like, oh, do you know, like, it seems illogical to want to end your own life.
It is kind of illogical, but there are also, you know, very, very logical, if, for example, no, I don't want to use specifics, but if someone ends their life because their life is this, and it's worse to carry on, like if someone was terminally ill, for example, you know, the assisted suicide is you know, I think most people can get their heads around that. I think most people can understand.
Look upon it as,
if someone's dying and it's going to get much worse and he's in a bad way already and wants to go to Switzerland and get... I think most people, or most compassionate people anyway, can get their heads around that. So I think what makes that easier is because there is a tangible illness.
Mm.
There's a, I know they have MS. I know they have, and they will.
Yeah.
They're not going to get better.
I can see they don't have any limbs.
Yeah, absolutely.
I can see that they're...
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So I think when it's an invisible illness, it's that, it might be that, that makes it harder to understand, because they might go, but you've got money, but you've got, you've got a beautiful partner,
about?
You've got this and this.
Smile, love, it might never happen.
Absolutely. So I think it makes it more, that's what's, so in a sense, that perhaps, it's perhaps harder for people to understand depression, or whatever is we're covering by depression, you know, a mental illness that destabilises you. it's perhaps harder to relate and understand that, because if you did, then you would understand the perversely logical next step of ending your life.
So do you think that maybe if people don't understand suicide, they haven't completely understood depression?
Possibly.
As an illness?
Possibly.
Yeah.
Again, I don't like to deal in absolutes. I don't like to say...
I'm not trying to pin you down.
No, I get that.
So you're saying...
Yeah.
We need a soundbite. It's 6 o'clock news. We've got 10 fucking minutes.
So what you just said is...
You're competing against ISIS and a dog of a tree.
Possibly. That's possibly the case.
Yeah.
But there are... I don't think I've dealt with anyone who have felt you've not got it.
Yeah.
To be honest, I don't think I've anyone who's... I've had a lot of correspondence over this, like a lot. Again, this is another thing. I read them all and that, and I'm still working through them, replying.
That must be hard as well, though. Like, yes, I would find that the emotional toll.
That's because here's the thing. So that's because they don't realise that they're not the only one.
Mm.
That sounded quite... I don't mean it belittlingly at all. I really don't.
Yeah.
They don't realise that they're not the only person sending a similar message. And I'm not discouraging people from doing it at all. I'm trying to work through it, but I can't do it how I would normally reply to emails, because like with the editing, it requires a little bit more thought. You know,
it's like, thanks for getting in touch.
Yeah.
You can find your mental health services, NHS.com.
Totally. You know, I can't just respond with, well, maybe you'd like to donate to the podcast. It's like,
I think that would spiral people into more mental illness.
Totally. So it's got to be something.
To get out of office.
So I've got to reply. I've got to, I want to reply. You know, they're taking time to write. I want to. But when you've got a load come in at the same time, it can be... I can only do one a day, really.
Yeah.
Because otherwise it all gets a bit much.
Well, that's, again, more stupid questions, but like, as somebody who hasn't suffered with that, I look at that and I'm like, people who are struggling are talking to other people who are struggling and bombarding them with emails about struggling. But then at the same time, maybe people who are struggling are the best people to talk about it because they understand it inherently. But then there is this emotional labour going on. Yeah. But I think that the few people that are... famous or have a platform, have stood up and talked about it, and therefore the labour is also being done by those people.
Yes.
And it's like that negation between like being a male ally for feminism. And it's like, how do I take the load off you without patronising you and being like, oh, don't worry, I know how Ian feels. I'll respond in his voice.
But the equation goes back further, doesn't it? So what happens is, so the reason you get that outcome, the reason that X equals 6 is because back here, they listened to your work, which was about mental health.
Mm.
They sat and listened to that. And it's potentially... I don't mean this... It will exclusively do this for everyone, I mean, but potentially, in fact, I know it has done because people told me, for some people, that is finally what they wanted to hear. That is finally a relief to them because of how they were feeling and they thought they were alone. It's a relief to them because they thought they were a freak in some way, that they thought that their feelings were very abnormal, and they've listened to people who sound normal-ish on that podcast. Yeah. You know, they're just regular people. That's what we all are. We're just regular people, really. Some who've achieved something, some who've got families, some who've achieve something shallow is what I mean.
From the outside, they would have ticked a few.
I don't mean like a family isn't an achievement.
No. They've got their Edward Scissorhands tick off.
Absolutely. So they've all, they're all getting on with life in some way. And they've heard that. They've related to it. So they, in a sense, further down the equation, are repaying the relation. They're repaying that. They're writing and saying, this is my situation, this is what I was feeling, this is what I went through, I want to thank you. I mean, what they're trying to say is thank you. They're trying to say thank you, but you know, you've got a couple of pages of a bleak story to read, and you want to respond to that. You know, you want to be grateful for them sharing, but like we said before, what they can't understand is that they're not the only email arriving that day.
Yeah.
And there's a load of them all coming at the same time. So for me, it does put a little bit of pressure on me, a little bit. I don't take it too much on, but I will respond to every single one of them. But it just means that you can't respond fast enough because there's too many of them, which gets back to, I can't remember if we recorded it or not, what we spoke about earlier on, is when you get obsessive fans or obsessive audience members.
Intimacy delay.
Yeah, it was suddenly like, I emailed you 5 days ago.
Where are you?
You have not read. I thought you were one of the good guys. I thought you were, and you're like, yeah, I've not even read it yet.
I can't promise my own siblings or family.
Yeah. So that's always the worry with that.
But
that's
then,
always...
so maybe like for it's not like this burden has to be taken. It's just like an occupational hazard. Do you know what I mean? Of being.
What I'd never want to do is dissuade people from contacting me. I'd never want to do that. I'd never want somebody to think, oh, he gets this all the time, so I'm not going to write that email. I don't...
Yeah.
It's never an issue in reality. It's just a logical issue sometimes, that's all it is. But it's I would never want to dissuade someone from writing that email because they think it would be unfair to me.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Most people, 99% of people, are very considerate in how they write and very honest and open in how they write and, you know, and uncritical and
not like text back, please.
Non-presumptuous. You know, yeah. Most of them say, you know, I don't expect you to reply. And I do always reply, but it's like most of them will say, look, I don't need a reply.
Yeah.
People do that when they donate, though. People donate to it and will say, I don't need the incentive stuff. You know, we have merchandise stuff. I don't need that. You know, I don't want. And I always send it, but they will make a point of saying, it's not what this is about. We want to donate to it. We want to help you to do your stuff. Or we want to show our appreciation for it or whatever. And most people are like that. Mm. You know, most people are, you know, it sometimes takes me a while to get around to sending stuff out and, you know, with the merchandise stuff. But no one's ever said, where's my stuff?
Yeah.
You know, they've not. Yeah, because
their stuff was the stuff that you gave them in the first place for free.
And it always gets there eventually.
Yeah.
Never longer than a month, but
arrive.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Another maybe a stupid question, but like when you talked about mental illness in general and suicide attempts, were you like, there's that balance between wanting to talk about it so other people can respond to it and empathise or say, oh, that actually happened to me too, this has helped me. How do you navigate that space between wanting to talk about it but also not wanting to be too explicit about it or worry that talking about it is going to trigger people in some way? Because I know, like, is that where you managed to, you did like the disclaimers on the... beginning of every episode.
The disclaimer, it's the same one, isn't it, on every episode? Mm. And that was, again, wasn't written that. I just said that because I thought, I'm not going to do a trigger warning in the conventional sense of people going, okay, trigger warning, this contains this, 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 and this. Because as far as I'm concerned, that's spoilers.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
You know, there is an element of that that is spoilers. Yeah. Some things have to... some things, when you discuss them, need to retain their punch. Mm. So if you tell them it's coming up, it doesn't have the same effect, and it needs to have the effect. You know, it needs to have that effect for it to actually get through to people, actually people to understand it. So I decided that the best, for me personally, the best trigger warning I could give would be to say, I'm just going to speak here. So you're not stupid. You know what I'm going to be talking. It's a mental health podcast. You know what that could entail. Mm. So if there's anything within that that could bother you and you can't deal with that, with being bothered by that, don't listen.
Yeah.
It's fine. It's absolutely fine. Don't listen.
Yeah, go into someone else.
Yeah.
Go for a walk.
Yeah, but I didn't want to go, well, this episode does have talk about suicide on it, so you might not want to listen to this episode. I couldn't take a part out of it.
Yeah,
I couldn't.
It's not like this contains nuts. It's not that simple.
Yeah, totally,
is it?
Totally.
Like quite literally contains nuts.
Absolutely. But yeah.
Mental health joke.
Absolutely, it's a brilliant mental health joke. Well done, you.
You can steal it if you want. I don't mind.
No, just, I'm going to let you keep it.
It wasn't that good. I don't want it for my own.
Actually, I think you can keep that one. So to just do a catch-all one, it's just go, look, I'm going to say what I want.
Yeah.
And I think I even said it about, but using the word mental and whatever it was, loony or balmy. I think I said something like that at the beginning. And I just said, look,
it's my podcast.
I'm using them, so if you can't deal with it, fine.
I'm too old to change now. Leave me alone.
Yeah. But
that's why language is just like connected to what people associate with it. Like language is just a construct.
Yeah.
So if you think the people listening understand what you mean when you say balmy, it's done its job.
Hey,
you know
look,
what I mean?
I'm not a bigot. I'm not a zealot about these things. I'm not the person that says, well, why can't I abbreviate Pakistani? I'm not that person.
Yeah.
I understand why not.
Yeah,
I get it. But I think there are certain things where you go, you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Please don't reclaim the word idiot.
Yeah, like,
please don't claim that. Don't call that ableism or what. It's like, please don't do that because sooner or later, we're going to be out of words here.
Yeah. there is like battles.
Yeah, we're going to speak in a very, not out of words, a very regimented language.
Mm.
And there's no room for regimented language when you're either a comedian or you're someone who tries to paint pictures with your words or you try and, you know, or write it. There'll be no literature because it's like, because all you can write is the dog was on the street.
Yeah. And when we say dog, we mean canine.
Yeah, we don't mean girl.
You know, like it's. But I think that's the difference between addressing somebody like they're a member of the public and addressing them like a friend. Do you know what I mean? Like, so your disclaimer is more like, mate,
yeah,
I know you're feeling a bit weird today.
Yeah.
If you do feel weird, fuck off, do
something
else.
Yeah.
It's not like, hello, members of the public,
Pan
Am.
But I've had a few people who I'd consider people who've, you know, been supportive over the years, as in audience who've listened to all my stuff and that. Mm. And there've been a few, you know, I can think of a handful certainly who've said, "I've not heard the mental podcast yet because I'm not really feeling up to it." And I listen to what you know, they trust me, you know, they do have a kind of relationship with me, and you know, they know that if I say something, I'm probably good for my word. You know, if I say, "Look, it's dark stuff in this," you know what I'm like, you know how I'll talk about stuff. If you're not robust enough for that at the moment, I've honestly got no issue with you not listening to it. And that's what I've said to all the people who said it, you know, who said, I've got to episode 3, but I'm not ready to listen to episode 4 or 5 or whatever. It's like, honestly, don't worry about it.
Yeah, it's not for your peace of mind that you're doing
it. If you feel robust enough at any point, do listen to it by all means, but I'm not going to sulk if you haven't listened to my podcast.
Yeah.
That's fine. I'm in a relatively bad place at the moment, really, I think. And I'm in sort of a, I'm certainly going through a lull at the moment. And I think that I could still listen to my podcast. I'd still be able to listen. If it was somebody else's, I'd still be able to listen to it. I don't think something could push me over the edge that was a bit of, not entertainment, but, you know, a piece of art or whatever the fuck it is.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think that could do it.
Mm. Really? It would be more like a personal experience or like
something I think
else.
So.
Yeah.
Or just let's, how you feel.
Let's not find out.
It's one of them where, you know, I'm certainly, I've certainly got that going at the moment. I had that, I was thinking of it last night. I couldn't sleep last night at all. I had a real, I don't think I get anxiety. Or no, I didn't think I got anxiety, but I had a real head spiral as I was trying to get to sleep.
Mm.
It's like 5 a.m. this morning. And I could feel, I was like, oh, I'm thinking about that. Oh, I'm worrying about that. I don't want to worry about that. And I've sort of got out of that habit.
Mm.
And I was like, oh, I tell you what, it'd be just easier just not to exist in that. And then I could see the shape of her next to me. I was like, oh, what she'd be, she wouldn't be able to deal with it. And, or, you know, yeah. Obviously, and you start thinking about that, and you start thinking about what it would be like. And I did a gig the other night. I started thinking about this gig I did the other night where I was in Hereford. I was in the dressing room before it. And I felt a bit faint. I was actually like, I don't feel right here at all. I feel very fuzzy. I felt blurred vision, but I knew I had to go on. I didn't know what I was going to talk to them about, and it all started piling on top, and I went on and just did it as best I could, but I was stumbling over my words a bit. I did fine, they were a nice audience, but if they'd not been a nice audience, that could have been a real car crash.
Thank you guys, that would have been fun.
In big bother then, yeah.
Yeah.
But I managed to get through it, but I came off, I was in the car driving home, and it's that line from Rocky Horror where Frankenfurter says, even smiling makes my face ache. And it's like, and I was really relating to it. I was like, God, I went on that stage and I plastered that smile on, and I could feel it hurting my mouth.
Yeah, yeah. That's gonna leave chafing in my
soul. Yeah, yeah. I could feel it. It was actually a physical aching in my jaw of trying to look like I was all right.
Yeah.
And I thought then, I'm more comfortable not pretending.
Yeah.
You can't really do as a stand-up, because you can't go on and say, look, I know you've all paid money for a laugh.
All I'm thinking about is predestination and death.
But I have clinical depression, I'm afraid. you've got to do the job, you can. So I think I'm increasingly more comfortable in just being, not having so much of a facade up,
I think that's what's good about all the conversations about mental health at the moment, or maybe some of them are bad, but at least we're having all of them. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think this, do you like the term mental illness, or like, do you think that's not?
I couldn't care less.
You don't think about the. Because I'm always like, I don't know. I think that a lot of it at the moment is like how to get over it or how to recover.
Yeah.
And not how to live with, or the fact that maybe it's not even an illness. Maybe it's just how people are, and maybe our expectations for happiness are really high.
Yeah.
I
don't care what it's called.
Mm.
Straight off, I'm not that person.
Yeah.
So I'm never gonna be that person.
Yeah.
It says, well, the actual term. It's like, no, forget the fucking term. Look at what the thing is.
Yeah. You're like, I'll tell you what I've experienced.
Yeah. And you can be. That's militance again, though, isn't it? You can get too het up with that.
Mm.
I think you can get too obsessed with, well, what are we going to call this? It's like the, you might have said, in Life of Brian, where they're trying to name the group. I'm sure that happens in that film.
Mm.
They're trying to name the group, and all they're doing is arguing about what the group's going to be called rather than actually doing what the group is for. And that happens a lot, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Throughout all causes. So I don't care what it's called. The main thing we need is to be able to speak with truth. So go back to trigger warnings, things like that again. That interferes with that a little bit, and and saying you can't speak about this, or you can't speak about this, or that's, you must say this first. You must say it. So it already dilutes what you're saying. So
yeah.
I think what I would strive for in myself, and what I want, is what I said about feeling my face ache when I was trying to be funny, is that I want to just speak honestly. I don't want to always have on me, and it's got to be funny as well.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it kind of normally is with me, not showing off, but I kind of make stuff funny, really. Or I think I've got quite a funny, But I don't want that requirement on me anymore.
Yeah.
But it's always got to be funny.
Because I think for people to really understand it, it can't always be funny.
No,
because if your depression was hilarious as it is in your head, as it is when you say it aloud, then it wouldn't really be.
I tell you, it was good at writing. Carrie Fisher's stuff. Have you ever read any Carrie Fisher stuff?
No, I haven't, but now everyone is, so now
of
I'm
course,
like, oh, God.
Yeah, of course they are.
Well, I wish I had the rights to her autobiography.
Well,
Can you imagine that?
But I'd really rather she was still here.
Yeah, I know.
But she, I've been listening to the audiobook of a book she wrote called Wishful Drinking, which is also a stage show,
And
I was listening to some of it today, and it's she speaks wonderfully about a man dying in her bed. One of her friends was staying over at her house, a gay friend of hers, and he died at her house, and that's the sort of jumping off point for a story. But it was wonderful the way she spoke about death, and it was wonderful the way she spoke about somebody that was her friend without going, and we were very upset. And it wasn't that, it was all... And he died in my bed, which I'm sure you'll agree is a really inconsiderate thing to do. And it was, you know, and it was
the little twat. Why did you have to do it in my bed?
It was a lovely way of speaking about it. It was a lovely, far more accessible way when you're not being quite as emotive, when you're just going, look, this is the way it is, right? And that's how I try and talk about stuff. Not always with success, but you want to go, some people are going to chuck themselves off bridges.
Yeah.
And then people will be desperate and they won't be laughing when they do it. And it won't, you know, it's horrible, but, you know, we're not going to understand this unless it can be discussed without any rules.
Yeah.
You can't put a rule on it.
Because I think there's a danger as well when people, like when I was younger and people had mental health problems around me,
yeah,
I'd always felt like I had to take it really seriously.
Yeah.
If they were like, I'm feeling shit today, I'd be like, let's talk about it for hours. Like, what do you want to do? Like, let's do anything. Like, you know, and take it so seriously that it then becomes even more of an issue for them.
Yeah.
Because you know what I mean? Like,
do you know what? Well, Martin is coming picking me up. He came to my house once at a very, very bad time. I can't remember if this is in the mental podcast or not. It may not be, but if it was, I apologise. But, and he was... he was going to take all the knives out of my house.
Yeah.
Right. Cause
I think this wasn't the first was episode. Was it? Was it? Yeah. Okay.
I'd had an attempt. I'd had a go at it. And but not that wasn't my method. By
I
the
let
way.
The go. I had a good go.
I had a crack at it.
I tried my best.
Look, I'm just not good at suicide. That's the main issue here. I can't do it.
Another failure.
Yeah, yeah. I give it all this. I looked at her shadow and I thought, I just can't do it. But I remember, when he was going in my kitchen going, well, I'm going to take the knives. I'd be going, what? And we were laughing. I was like, Timmy's so fucking stupid. You're going to take it? He went, well, I don't know what to do. I went, you can't just take all my knives.
You're like, how am I going to cut my food?
Yeah. So but it was kind of funny though. But, you know, it was quite nice that we could speak that, you know, it wasn't like,
yeah,
we had to speak in code to each other or anything like that. Yeah, or dance
around. Yeah, it's like, oh, I'm going to have to buy you just Velcro shoes now. Yeah, take away your laces.
Yeah, I mean, he was thinking, I found out, you know, with passage of time, he did have certain tactics in place, you know, but they weren't really that considered. He was working on the hoop all the time in dealing with me. But it certainly wasn't, it wasn't all tearful in that, you know. I'm seeing him later, we'll definitely take the piss about the mental podcast. You know, he's been listening to it recently.
And
I've no issues with that.
But that's what's nice, making it into like part of their lives, like part of your life, part of his life.
Yeah.
It's just part to recognise part of your life, and you have to laugh through it. And it's not this like segment of sadness that's like, and then we have to go into adult mode.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
Talk seriously.
Well, yeah, with that
about the serious, because if your whole friendship is jovial, like
totally.
Yeah.
But that's what I think Carrie Fisher nailed. I think she nailed that when she discussed these sort of things, and when she discussed obviously a lot of it's about mental health and that, and you know, if I could do it 1% of how she'd done it, I'd be happy. You know, she nailed it. I mean, she's a huge loss for many, many reasons, but that was like, we lost a big ally there. Lost a big ally with the stuff we're talking about.
Yeah.
With her being away. Because she did it very well and destigmatised very well.
Yeah.
Without announcement. That's what I think the trick is. You do it without announcement.
Yeah. It's in the places that people aren't expecting to hear about it, or Googling it. Yeah.
I think if you say, I'm going to destigmatise mental health, you've already made an announcement. Do it with your actions. Do it with how you talk. And
it's
do it with
being on a first date. It's like, we will fall in love.
Yeah.
But we won't now,
isn't
will
it,
we?
Isn't it just that? That is absolutely perfect. It is just that. It's turning up and saying, we are going, by the way, I'm not sure it's going to happen, but we are going to fuck tonight. So everything I do is, that's what I'm aiming at, right? And it's like, rather than just going, well, see if you get on, see how it goes. You know, see how where the night takes you and all that. That's a better way of doing it. And, you know, you'd probably have a better success rate as well.
Yeah, exactly. Motive, schmotives.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's why not having trigger warnings is really great. Because I think if as somebody who doesn't really suffer from that, if I was like, okay, so what podcast am I going to listen to this one? It's like, trigger warning, rape,
does it turn you off? Does it turn you off the podcast?
Well, no, I think it more just
that
goes,
sounded
right,
so
that's
wrong
a serious,
then,
just turns me off.
Because you said rape, and I went, does it turn you off, rape?
It's not my biggest Afro disease.
Yeah, no, but does that well, put you off a thing?
It makes me think this is going to be a serious podcast.
Okay.
I should set aside some time and sit in a dark room and listen to it.
Right.
Whereas if I'm like doing the wash up and I like whack it on, I'm not like, oh, just listen to this. I don't know what's going to come up in it. And maybe just suicide does come up.
Yeah.
And then I'm like listening to it, engaged and interested in a good place. But do you know what I mean? But if you just say, oh, you know.
Isn't it?
It's really weird, isn't it? Humans are weird.
Yeah, well, I have the Barry who I do the Parapod with, he gets angry about trigger warnings. He goes mad about that. Going, oh, it's got too soft, the world now. And I've always said, you know, if a trigger warning pisses you off, it isn't for you. So just let it go. It's fine. Just let it go. It's for someone else, that. It's not for you.
Yeah.
So don't get angry about something that isn't for you.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know why they put a disabled wheel thing down here. We've got stairs, God's sake. It's
absolutely that. It's getting angry about a wheelchair ramp. That's what that is. It's getting angry about it when you're not in a wheelchair yourself, right? So that's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
But again, Richard Herring says, he says a trigger warning surely is a trigger in itself. That's just absolutely true. You know, if you say, I'm... If you say trigger warning, we're going to talk about suicide. You've already talked about it. You've done it already.
You've said the word.
Yeah. So the word is apparently the trigger, so you've said the word already. So it is ultimately a redundant statement because, you know...
Mm.
But I guess you're saying... we're going to. It goes into quite a bit of depth, this, about you know what we're talking about. But I also think that the people that will purportedly affect are people who are suicidal themselves.
Mm.
And people who are suicidal themselves have heard of suicide.
In fact, it's all there.
They know how that works. They absolutely know. They know the feelings you're going to be talking about because they have them.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
You know, they do. And the idea is that it might trigger them. It's like, trust me.
But, yeah.
The wrong article in a newspaper might trigger them that's got nothing to do with suicide.
Yeah.
The wrong weather might trigger them. The wrong song on the radio might trigger them.
Just God doing what? Trigger warning, rain today.
Yeah. And do you remember it was raining when she left you? It's that. You've got everything's a trigger warning, isn't it? Everything is.
Yeah. And I also think it's like that. Like what your friend was saying that he struggled with is how intelligent you are. So he couldn't talk you out of not committing suicide. Do you know what I mean? Like everything I said, you had a rebuttal for. You're like, if I hide the knives, you'll find another way to die. Like it's not...
I'm a good arguer.
Yeah.
I am a good arguer. I want to ask you one thing before we finish. Because you said to me about who listened to the mental podcast and what did they find in the responses and who it was. How did you end up listening to it?
I don't actually remember how I found it. I think I was just searching on iTunes for things and you were in the top charts or something.
Right.
I think that's how.
What was your response to it with that, in that respect?
I think one of the reasons going into it that I clicked on it was because I'm interested in understanding mental illness because it's something I feel quite ignorant about.
Okay.
And then coming out of it, I loved like the first episode because it involved, selfishly, as we all are, it involved somebody who wasn't suffering with it talking about how they dealt with you dealing with it.
Okay.
And I think that's what's helpful for people and what doesn't get as much as a platform, and it shouldn't get as much of a platform in the same way that like male tears shouldn't get as much platform as female mutilation.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
But it's interesting to, you know, have that, not a cheat sheet, but like that's what I'm trying to do is like work out what not to say. Just like, tell me what not to say. Tell me what. It's not triggers. I'm not trying to, but it's more like, tell me what the stupidest thing I could say to somebody with a mental illness is. Do you know what I mean? Like, that kind of, and that's, I think that's what a lot of people are searching for, is a way not to get it wrong. Do you know what I mean? And a way to not put their foot in it.
I'm a big fan of Lemony Snicket.
Mm.
I like Lemony Snicket a lot.
Yeah.
And I'll borrow a phrase from Lemony Snicket for that, which is, you're asking the wrong question of yourself.
Yeah,
that's not the issue. So I think people just shouldn't worry about that. Don't worry about putting your foot in it. Don't worry about saying something wrong. Don't worry about that. I think most people would say that about whatever their particular peccadillo is, or whatever their thing is. They just go, look. You probably get that with it. With doing these things, where it's just ask. It's fine. Mm. Say what you think, just ask. I'll pull you up if you're wrong.
Yeah.
And I won't shout at you. I won't, do you know what I mean? It's like if you say, if you're trying to understand someone's sexuality and you want to, it's like, I think most people just go, just ask me.
But you never want to be that person who's like, I remember there was this girl at uni who asked my friend that was gay, like, she'd ask like some of my gay friends, like, oh, so when you get married, who's wearing the dress?
Yeah.
Her or you?
Yeah.
You know, you don't want to be that person who's an anecdote, yeah, who's like, why the fuck could you ask that question?
No, but just be an anecdote, fuck it, it don't matter, does
well,
it?
Well, people need to be the anecdotes before everyone just starts talking about it sensibly. Yeah.
But isn't it like...
Yeah, you'd be like, text my depressed friend, or I haven't done this, but like, I can imagine me doing it at 14, I'd text my depressed friend being like, it's raining today, are you okay?
Yeah.
It's a stupid thing.
But that's all right.
Yeah.
That's all right. Because, like, again, it's like Martin tucking the knives out. It's like, what the fuck, what are you doing?
Yeah. I just wanted to do
like,
something.
Do you know what I mean? And it's like...
But I think, like, that's better than not doing anything. Do you know what I mean? Like, I think a lot, probably historically, people haven't done that much about it.
Yeah.
Like, people just been like, you go and talk about that with your psychiatrist. Do you know what I mean? Like, don't talk to me about it.
Yeah.
Or, I think that sometimes, like, my friends who have had problems have gone to some of their other friends, and their other friends have been like, I think you should get help, mate. I think you should go talk to somebody professionally. And it's like, yes, you should do that.
Yeah.
But that's not a way to stop them from talking to you.
No, it's not.
And
you sort of go, they're your friends, for the sake.
Yeah.
If you don't know how to talk to each other as friends, why are you friends?
But then, because we professionalise mental illness, right, which is great, you don't feel qualified to talk about it, so you should... Do you know what I mean?
Got
I'm
you.
Like, so, like, yeah. If you come to me and you're like, oh, I'm suicidal, I'd be like, I'm not trained. No, do you know what I mean? Like, I don't have a degree
nobody
in
is.
This. Yeah.
Nobody is.
Mm.
Not even the people who've got the degree.
Yeah.
Nobody is trained.
Sometimes the worst.
Yeah, but that's it, though. That's one of the uncomfortable truths, isn't it? Mm. Nobody understands this fully.
Yeah.
No one does. It's all speculative or based on things that happened before, but the things that have happened before aren't conclusive of everything else that's ever happened. You know, they're all moments. They're all like, you know, nobody's an expert. There's no such thing as an expert on mental health.
Yeah.
They just know what they know from their experience, or what they've read, or what they've heard, or what they've viewed, and they put it together to a general consensus.
Mm.
But the problem with mental health stuff, I think, is that it contradicts itself all the time.
Yeah.
So it could never be in physics. Mm. There's no rule. There's no law of mental health because it contradicts itself all the time.
Mm.
Makes
and
no sense.
Person as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. But even. Not even person to person. Like my mental health contradicts itself all the time.
So
all
you can
the
learn
time.
How to deal with it and then it stops working and you're like, okay, next
it thing. Might, it might be, when I'm in that situation, what I need is an hour on the PlayStation. It might be what I need is for a cuddle. What I need is to be left alone. What I need is to be... And they're all different things. It's like, well, do I leave you alone or do I cuddle you? It's like, well, it depends on the specific time.
Ask me.
but they're both depression. Yeah, they're both depression. But I sometimes need a cuddle, sometimes I need to be left alone. Sometimes I need the PlayStation, sometimes I need to be quiet. Sometimes I need a book.
Yeah.
Sometimes definitely not a book.
Yeah, no books at all. Just Twix. Sometimes I need a Kinder Egg.
Yeah, absolute nightmare. Yeah.
So
there can't be an expert on it. There can't be.
It's like there's a fickle toddler living inside you that's like, today I need beans.
Just a contrary fucker. It is, though.
Yeah.
It is, unfortunately.
Yeah.
What we learn from that is...
Wrap us up.
the only possible way, the only way of getting to any sort of grips with that is to just tell the truth. All the time. Just tell the truth all the time.
It turns out we're not in a post-truth era.
No.
The truth...
It's worth clinging for, isn't it?
Yeah, it's something to believe in.
Yeah, it is. You know, and the only way you can do that is for it to be it's for us and the people closest to us to have an agreement that from now onwards, you and all your friends, if you've got a question, you ask a question. If you say something, you say something. If you feel a certain way, you say it. So you say you feel that way. Nobody judges anyone else. People can advise, people can say, but they're not experts. You know, they can try and help each other, or they can just say, I can't deal with this, or what, you know, whatever it is.
Mm.
But we will always speak. None of us will ignore each other. We'll never ignore each other. We'll always just go, this is what we do, this is what we do, this is what we do. Okay, we'll try and get work through it as best as we can.
Yeah.
That's my feeling.
I like that.
Yeah.
Put it on a poster. Sell it, monetize that mental illness.
Put it on fucking toilet paper.
I love it. Oh, thank you for coming on.
It's a pleasure.
I don't know
if
it's worth to say, like, thank you for coming on. And now, the news.
Yeah, so, just somebody says something, and I hope you'll be all right.
You're like, I hope.
Look.
Now, you've come on today, so we're going to give you a new car and a goodie bag, and your favourite celebrity is behind you.
Yeah, I got one. Do you know what? You never kill yourself because you're a great guy.
You've got so much to live for.
So much to live for, yeah. Oh. I'll see you're so much to live for. And I'll raise you.
So thanks for listening to I'm Not Being Funny But, the first episode. If you liked it, please leave a review on iTunes. It will help other people find the podcast. Thank you so much to Ian for coming on. Do check out The Mental Podcast. You can follow them at The Mental Pod. He also has a really impressive podcast called The Parapod, all about paranormal behaviour.
If you've been enjoying the music in this episode, hurrah, you're in luck. I'm going to be featuring a different independent artist that I love in every episode. And our first artist was Hell! Exclamation mark, otherwise known as Helena. I'm addicted to her music. You can follow her at HELENEEENA or find her on iTunes by searching HEL! Exclamation mark. If you are an independent artist and you would like to be featured in the episode, I would love to hear from you. You can email me at lenanorms@gmail.com. If you would like to give some feedback in our segment, I'm Not Having It, where you get to have a chance to have your say, you can go to speakpipe.com/I'm Not Being Funny But. I'll tweet the link too. And you can leave a voice recording of your thoughts. Alternatively, you can tweet me. But it'd be really fun to hear your voice and maybe I'll play some on the episode.
It is time to log off and bog off. Thank you so much for listening. I'm Not Being Funny But, I'm off. Don't wanna be wanted, I like hate being confronted in person or on the phone. If you give me reasons why you think I should give you a try, I don't care if you're a nice guy, just fucking leave me alone.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.